Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am here today with my son, Samuel. Hi, Samuel.
Hi.
So he recently was able to travel to West Africa with myself and our home church. And so I wanted to interview him for this podcast, for him to share kind of some of his highlights or challenges, things that surprised him, and things that he's taken away from this trip. So Samuel, I know you have been aware of Orphan Relief and Rescue for many years. I've worked for the organization since he was 1 year old. So he knows a whole lot about what we do and our programs, and he's seen lots of pictures and he's heard lots of stories, but this was the first time you were able to go in person. So I'm curious, Samuel, what was that like for you to see the programs and the kids in person?
It's definitely different from here. Very different atmosphere, very different feel. It was wonderful to see the kids and the program and what you guys are doing. The kids are so wonderful to be with. I love seeing the little warriors of God that they're growing up to be.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit off camera. You were saying that going on this trip, one thing that you didn't quite expect with the children was just how on fire they are for Jesus, especially the kids in our program and the kids in our safe home, because we had the opportunity to go to the Freedom Center and we were able to commemorate one of the Freedom Centers in memory of my uncle. So my aunt was there and my mother was there and my aunt built it in memory of my uncle. And so at that Freedom Center, everyone from the community came. And so you could tell the difference between the people in our program and the people that weren't in our program. And so, Samuel, how could you tell the difference between the two?
Well, the people over in the Orphan Rescue program had light and fire in their eyes. Like you could tell, like they looked super alive. They felt super alive. All their actions, what they said, was all so joyful and happy. And their faces were just full of life. But in the feeding program, some of the kids looked very dead on the inside. They looked very sad. Their eyes had no life in them. And they just seemed very dead and very broken.
Mm-hmm. What was that like for you to see that?
It was sad just to see people like that.
And I know that you had mentioned, too, that this is the first time you've experienced kind of spiritual warfare to this level. You've always had, I would say, a gift of discernment from a very young age. You would be very aware of things in the spiritual world. Like I remember when you were 2 years old, us taking a walk in the neighborhood and we passed by a house and you said, "Why is that house angry?" And I thought, oh, well, if you see that that house is angry, then we should probably pray for that house. So you've always been very aware of the spiritual world. So what was it like for you for it to be magnified in West Africa?
It was very overwhelming. I was constantly being spiritually attacked. And it made me realize that I cannot deal with those spiritual attacks by myself. Like I can't stop them. Whenever I try, I only make it worse. So it really helped me realize my need for God and just how great he is. And because he's inside me, these spiritual attacks, they have no say in my life. It's not who I am, and I'm greater than them. So I can, surrender them, give them to God, and just, cast them out because the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is inside of me. So that was really cool to learn.
Was there one particular person that you talked to or one instance, that stood out to you where you felt this victory or awareness that, greater is Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit within you than he that's in the world?
Yeah, well, there's an Orphan Relief and Rescue staff member there in West Africa that, he's kind of like my brother over there, but
he's our videographer. He's been interviewed here. Yeah. So people know who he is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it was wonderful to hear his faith and his belief, and just he's so wise, very strong. But it was really cool to hear what he had to say about these spiritual attacks and, you know, Jesus is greater, you don't have to worry, and, you know, learn more about him, surrender the spiritual attacks through praise, talk to God through praise. You don't have to focus on them, give them to God, and distract yourself with reading the Bible, listening to worship music, and just all praise and learning about God and who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember while we were there, you processing a lot, saying so much of it was learning to surrender, you know, that God is the one who will fight the battle for you, that you don't have to do it out of your own strength, or you always, you know, want to strive for perfection, but you need God. Like, you can't do it on your own. You have to, like, really surrender, and God's the one who's in control.
Right. Because I'm not perfect, but Jesus was for us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was cool to learn.
Would you say that that was your biggest takeaway?
Yeah.
From the trip?
For sure.
So how would you sum that up, your biggest takeaway? If someone came to you and said, what was the biggest thing that you learned in West Africa on this trip?
Oh, that we aren't perfect. Yeah, Jesus was perfect for us. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is inside of me. Whenever I have spiritual attacks, I can give them to God. They don't control me. I can control them because of that power that's inside of me. You know, give them to God through praise. You know, that isn't who I am because I'm his son. And, you know, knowing that when I sin, you know, yeah, that isn't who I am. So I can give it to God and to stop making myself a slave to my sin because I am God's son.
Well, so people might be curious, like, what exactly did you do when you went to visit Orphan Relief and Rescue? So what was one of the, like, our first day? Like, you could walk through kind of, ooh, what did you do on your trip?
Well, I think the biggest thing we did was just hang out with the kids at the safe home. So that would be passing the soccer ball around, or we brought some sports equipment. So we did that with them. You know, just being with them. They just want to be with you.
Being at the safe home that first day, what about not being able to use your words and language? You want to talk about that? Yeah. That was a challenge.
Yeah, I love talking. I love speaking. But it's so hard not to be able to speak with these kids and only communicate with them with, I don't know, sign language or smiles or whatever. So that was very hard for me because I love to talk. Yeah, then speaking different languages, that was very hard. That was overwhelming. And I felt like I couldn't really.
You didn't know what to do.
Right.
Like, you wanted to form a relationship with these other kids, but you're kind of like, how do I do it without words? So how did you get past that?
Realizing that they don't need words. Mm-hmm. They just love you being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just you simply kicking a ball around or playing patty cake or just holding their hand, you know, was enough for them.
And if they really wanted to speak, I mean, there were translators there, so that was helpful.
Yeah, because we also had an opportunity to pray for them. What was that like, specifically praying with the safe home kids?
It was good. It was hard to hear some of their stories, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So now you can go back to what was another thing that we did as a group?
We went to the safe home that was dedicated to my uncle. So we were able to talk to the village that the safe home is located in and tell the gospel to the people and share that with them. And then I think it was the following day, we had a VBS with the kids, and that was really fun because I was able to tell them the gospel through the navigator's bridge diagram. So that was really cool.
What was that like, you know, staying in front of 300 kids and you're like drawing out this bridge model and explaining it and then giving the translator time, and all the kids were very attentive and they were sitting there trying to draw exactly what you were drawing. What was that like?
I thought I was going to be worried, but I wasn't. I really learned that God is, you know, using me and he's speaking through me. He will give me the words to say. So that was another thing I was able to learn was, you know, you don't have to worry because he will give you the words to say.
Yeah, that was.
It was fun.
Yeah, that was a cool day. You were saying kind of one thing that you really impressed you about Orphan Relief and Rescue with the kids. We were talking about that off camera. Could you share a little more of that with our audience?
Well, I was just really impressed to see what warriors for God the kids are becoming. Mm-hmm. So Orphan Relief and Rescue is really educating them in their faith and growing their faith and planting and watering seeds. And it's really cool to see how these kids are just becoming lights in their communities, and you know, what the enemy made for evil, God has made for good. So, you know, these kids have come out of really sad places, but God has really turned their lives around. And just, it's amazing to see what he's doing in their lives.
You were mentioning, yeah, that it inspires you, kind of their faith and their deep trust.
Yeah.
How would you describe the spiritual environment where we work?
Well, it's front lines, so it's you're constantly being attacked all the time.
They definitely use the tools.
Yeah, right.
To combat, yeah, whether it be prayer or worship, like they are well equipped and practice it every single day. Like get up early and
they worship in the morning and then in the evening they have a devotional 2 times a day, and it's amazing.
Yeah, they know their Bible.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything else that surprised you in going to West Africa? Because you've seen a lot of pictures. Cultural things didn't surprise you as much, but was there anything that surprised you?
I mean, voodoo is so open there. Mm-hmm. That was big. Everyone's like, oh yeah, it's voodoo. I was like, back here, you're like, that was surprising.
Yeah, will you expand upon that a little bit where you're like, oh.
Well, there's a voodoo temple. Oh, there's a little voodoo sacrificial whatever. Oh, there's, I don't know, something related to voodoo. Oh, there's some museum. Oh, there's some art piece. And you're like, okay. So.
Yeah, it is everywhere.
And I know it's a big part of their culture, but.
Yeah, it's not quite as in your face here. I mean, obviously there's spiritual warfare here, yeah, not quite as blatant. How about anything that made you really sad, heavy-hearted?
The slave trade was hard. Mm. Hearing about that, that was really
hard. Yeah, when we did the history, history day. Yeah, so
that was hard.
Yeah, we got to spend a day going to hear about slave trade that was through the country. And yeah, that was sobering, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think hearing the kids' stories, that was hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know, seeing how kids are just treated and used in voodoo rituals is sad.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned, too, how you were amazed that kids that could walk through such trauma are so joyful.
Right.
And so happy and so, like, whole, in a sense. You know, like, it really is inspiring. But you know, it makes
it's because of God.
Yeah,
God
totally.
God makes them whole. He restores them.
Coming back to America and just, let's say you, a modern day problem that you might have of, I don't know, does it, in comparison to what they deal with, how do you kind of approach some problems that you might have here now differently as a result of traveling to West Africa?
And like these kids have dealt with so much and they are so happy. It's like, I feel like sometimes what I deal with, it's very minuscule compared to what they have dealt with or what they are dealing with. But it's just knowing that God is with you through it and, you know, seeing these kids and seeing, you know, they've come out of this. You know, really cool to see their soul in God's hands. So just having that hope of, you know, God's with you and he will get you through this. And at the end of this, he's still with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
He's always with you. So any seeds planted in your own heart that you think you'll carry with you in your future?
Well, I have a strong desire now, I feel, to, you know, share God's word, share the gospel. Mm-hmm. I feel very confident in doing so. I feel like, you know, I can just go talk to someone and be like, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? And just because being able to express that and experience that in West Africa. And so, yeah, knowing that God is with me. So that's cool.
What motivates you to even want to share Jesus's love with people here?
I've been met with so much love and forgiveness, like, that I should not have been met with. So it'd be cool to share that. And I truly do want to enjoy heaven with my friends.
Mm.
Like, I enjoy my friends so much right now. And it makes me, I don't know, it makes my heart sad to know that I have a few friends that are not following Jesus, or they are not Christian and they don't know his love. So it just, I would really love to enjoy heaven with them. And it would be really cool for them to experience his love. So
why do you need Jesus, you personally?
Well, you know, I can't do it alone. Going back to these spiritual attacks and everything, like, if I'm a perfectionist, I used to, whenever I get a spiritual attack, I would beat myself up. I would think of hurting myself. I would think of, you know, like, literally physically hurting my body. And I feel like, you know, if I didn't have Jesus, I would have done something to myself that would have hurt me.
You mean like punish yourself?
Like punish
to try
myself,
and make yourself
right. Or I would be
better or perfect.
Right. Or I would be living in you know, just sadness and anger, mm-hmm. or, you know, a bigger fear is I would actually start to listen to those spiritual attacks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't do it alone. Whenever I try and fight those spiritual attacks, I ended up making it worse. So, you know, I need Jesus. And especially as a perfectionist, I am so hard on myself, and knowing mm-hmm. that, you know, you can't be perfect, but Jesus loves you for who you are, not because you're perfect, not because you're good, but for who you are. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you say to a high schooler out there? How would you encourage a high schooler who does, you know, believe in Jesus, but they're still making their faith their own? How would you encourage them in their journey?
I just say, you know, God is with you, and whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through, God is with you. He loves you, and he loves you because he made you. And he has, you know, that great love for you because, yeah, he made you, and you're forgiven no matter what you've done in your life. You know, you're forgiven for it because he loves you, and he truly does want to be with you. He wants you to be with him in heaven. So,
and what was the other, you on the trip, I remember you articulating really well how precious a human being is to God in comparison to the universe.
Yeah. So one of our team members, he told us that because we have souls and because God created us to have souls, we're made as humans, we're made in his image. One person is more valuable than all the matter in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it was.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening, know that you are valuable, not because of what you do, but because you exist and were created by God and in his image.
Amen.
It's just because you exist. So, amen.
Amen.
And thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.